Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the coach. You're checking out the Brad Gilmore Show with the dress shoe wearing, Ric Flair good hair having, entertainment world champion, Brad Gilmore. World champion, Brad Gilmore. Brad, did you really think I was going to cut a promo for you? Supporting you? Listen, man, I was born a heel. I'm going to die a heel. And in the middle, I'm going to roll a heel.
Oh, Brad, you got it.
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. On demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Can you dance?
On demand. On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand. Yeah. Extended on demand for you for this week's episode. Great stuff for you this week. Thank you for tuning in. If you're tuning in via iTunes, greatly appreciated. If you're tuning in on Stitcher Radio, thumbs up to you. If you're on bradgilmore.podbean.com, slow clap for you. Thank you for however you listen to this show and however you listen to get this podcast each and every single week. It's only because of you, the listeners, that we keep this thing going, the train a-running down the track, brother. I got a lot of stuff planned for the Brad Gilmore Show on demand and the network. Right off the gate, you heard me talk about last week that we had some new shows debuting on the network, the first of which already has two episodes up. It's Harold's Wrestling Talk Network. Brings to you Harold's Reality of Wrestling Report. Every single Friday, we're going to have a new episode. It's about 15, 20 minutes each week, catching you up on everything you missed from Reality of Wrestling and making sure that you're up to date with special guest interviews all the time, different things going on. It's just going to catch you up and get you ready for Reality of Wrestling Saturday nights on the Cube, 2 a.m., Make sure you set your DVRs because you can see your man, the dress you're wearing, Ric Flair, and good hair having, entertainment world champion, brother, on the Cube every single week. You know, also, I talked about teaming up with Hash Brown of the Houston Elite MCs, actually Jedi Master, teaming up with Jedi Master. They're the same person, but two different people. You gotta know to figure it out. But anyway, teaming up with Jedi Master. And we're going to bring you a new podcast every other week called Nerds or Geeks, where we talk about what's going on in comic books and comic book movies, superheroes, all the great stuff. We got the pilot edition coming out October 1st, so make sure you stay ready for that. Is October 1st on Wednesday? Is that when October 1st is? Is it? It is. So this Wednesday. So not tomorrow, but the next day, we're going to be having the debut edition of Nerds or Friends. Nerds or Geeks here on the Brad Gilmore Show Network. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Reality Wrestling announced Hardcore Holly and the Boogeyman will be in the house on October 11th. So make sure you go to realityofwrestling.com and buy your tickets that way. Make sure you continue our support of breast cancer research by buying one of our pink out shirts, Reality of Wrestling, designed by yours truly. You can get those at realityofwrestling.com. All proceeds go to Susan G. Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. We're almost in Breast Cancer Awareness Month officially. So Reality Wrestling TV tapings are themed accordingly. If you see me on there, I'll be sporting pink tie, pink ribbon, pink pocket square, dressed to the gills. So just a lot of stuff going down. This interview this week is with one of Reality of Wrestling's own, Sexy Steve DeMarco. But, you know, we don't talk a lot about wrestling this week in kind of theme for our new show going down this Wednesday, Nerds or Geeks with Jedi Master. This interview was based around comic books, and it's a two-parter. So this is part one. It's about comic books. It's about superhero movies. A little bit about wrestling, I believe. We talk a little bit about it. But that's what we got for you this week. You know, we're going to be back next week with more Steve DeMarco, more new shows. I mean, I'm going to take over podcasting. I'm going to take it over. I'm just saying, I'm taking over podcasting. But with that being said, a lot of people still are asking me all the time, Brad, can we hear some of your music? Can we hear some of your music? I will be happy to say something is kind of happening on that front, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But my band 2011 does have a new single out. It's called Dance Floor to the Sun, as heard on CW39's News Fix and on blogs such as dayinadream.com and other ones all around the country. So we're about to play it for you right here. This is 2011, Dance Floor to the Sun.
That body I wanna do. Damn girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon. We don't need no fancy cars. Still a living shoe that sucks. Forget your phone, let's have some.
Like the Huxtables, but I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though. Cause you know what they say about your type. Off-white, model like, only order salads right. Petite, with an accent that's thick as hell. Real sweet, with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this. And in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on. And your body I can send on. Friend zone, I'm just asking what the fuck is that. You're not trying to fall in love, good luck with that. Cause your mama say better get stuck with that. And your friends say he is where the buzz is at. So, why you trying to act mean, girl, when you know your boy tighter than them skinny jeans, girls fit like a list, but I gotta keep it clean, girl. You just gotta try me once, I'm a fiend, girl, dream, girl. Something like Beyonce, ring, girl. Something like Beyonce, one day, maybe a bunch of kids like the Brady. Trying to say the world, why clap on some Haiti? Lately, baby, I've been thinking I can change for you. Got a boy playing a new game
so
for you.
Let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon.
To the sun, you worked all day, got a little bit done. That's okay, now the night begins. As long as we don't go home tonight, never ends. So, oh, yo, we way past go. Collect 200, now let's head to the show. See your favorite band with a drink in the hand. The way you look at me, it's clear I'm the man. But this ain't about me, this about you. The way you're looking at me is how I'm looking at you. With them cat eye shades, thin little waist, thick old ass and the lips that taste. Say what you think about, she said nothing. It's easy to see that heart start to pumping, pulse increasing, cheeks start to blushing. But do you wanna be starting some? Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Your mama don't like me, daddy wanna fight me. I don't really care, you down or not. We can hop in the truck, drive far away. And with a little luck, maybe you stay in my bed, rest your head. And we can think about the greatest day.
So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon.
That was Dance Floor to the Sun by 2011. That's right. Yours truly was on there. The second verse, I was going in. You know what I'm saying? Also, though, this week, yesterday on the Solid Monster Sounds Off, I sent in our good buddy Jason a question.
He answered it. This is what happened.
We've also got an audio question this week from our friend Brad Gilmore.
Hey, Solo Monster, it's Brad Gilmore here. My question for you is about championships. WWE has had many championships that have been deemed inactive, such as the European Championship, the Hardcore Championship, the Light Heavyweight / Cruiserweight Championship. Out of all these titles, which one would you bring back and why?
I am sticking to my guns on this. I wouldn't bring back any of them if I had the choice. I think less is more. I think having more championships is not the answer. But if I had to choose of the ones you mentioned, I actually kind of like the European title, but there's really no need for it. I would go for the Cruiserweight title if I knew that they could actually do it right and they were going to have a full-blown Cruiserweight division, try to bring some excitement back to that show on Mondays, which is just dead. It's just so boring. I would go for the Cruiserweight belt, but only if they did it right, and I have absolutely no faith that they will ever do a Cruiserweight division the right way in that company. They've never shown the ability to do so before. It doesn't look like they have any interest in doing it. But if I knew they could, I'd go for the Cruiserweight belt.
If it were up to me, I would definitely bring back the Hardcore title just because think of the great matches that we saw in the Hardcore title. You know, people were losing the title when they were asleep. People were running around, you know, jungle gyms and in Chuck E. Cheese for the title. There's the 13-man Hardcore Battle Royal at WrestleMania 2000, which was awesome. So many things that I loved about the Hardcore title. I was also really... I really loved the European title, like he said, and it had no relevance at all, but I really liked it. Really big fan of the European Championship. But I do agree, man, the Cruiserweight title, man, would be great to bring back. It was a fun title, great matches all the time. We saw that in WCW, the Light Heavyweight / Cruiserweight Championship in WWE. It was cool for a little while. So, we're about to throw it to DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix, and then we'll be back with Sexy Steve DeMarco.
Turning the Babylon, Cristal Rose, lounging like a magic star. On the shots, he's with my African queen. Gon' pin it on the neck, watch the style with the king. Not a single through the glamour, sitting on through the man. Exotic white beaches and pieces, gazebos and Tropicana. Take tacos and cabana, long trees in the cabana. Having thoughts of American dream, five money, Tony Montana. Next stop, reach me Atlanta, adjacent G.A. Savannah. Grinding every day, my last, God, he knows the answer. Tell him death under the sea, living life, join the breeze. Vision life and aspects through all colors and creeds. They say love is blind, you might can't see. If this ain't the bright life, then I guess it's a dream. If the whip ain't nice, then I guess that it's me. Living life stress free, I ever ride with me. Be the white tee, gold chalk, tangerine, lots of gumbo, sipping iced tea. The move is real, the vibe is strong. We go hard all day, party all night long. Oh, Mr. DJ, I'm about to spin that song. And after I finish two-stepping, then we getting it on. Louis Vuitton, Terry on, extravagant, wish wear. Chilling in my B-boy stairs, that's how we do, yeah. Pacific Islands, Canary Diamonds, Mosaic Island. Hit the sun strip forever wilding. Came from the middle, offensive of a specialist. Threw a rack, I felt like once in the moon, it should catch this. Spanish Ave, vintage exotic, level breakfast. Heavy VIP lounge and the signatures on the guest list. To the window, to the wall, we hit the exit, and it's back to big one. The sky high, we back in Texas.
We got it, baby, baby. Down like a Chevrolet. We got it, baby, baby. G's take us out for free. We got it, baby, baby. Life to a D.I.A. We got it, baby, baby. I love it, love it. Ooh, we live the life just how we want. Ooh, and nothing ever gonna stop us.
Tiptoeing in my Jordans, Prada came down. Tiptoeing in my Jordans, just cop the Porsche.
tiptoeing in my foreign. You motherfuckers boring. You sleeping on me snoring. Don't worry, cause I'm tiptoeing in my Jordans. I done came down tiptoeing in my Jordans. Just cop the Porsche. Tiptoeing in my foreign. You motherfuckers boring. You sleeping on me snoring. Don't worry, cause I'm.
What's up to my haters? I done fucked around and sang a hoop like Anita Baker.
What?
Neon Icon, 57 City Touring. I'm first class to Spain. You still buying Ralph Lauren?
Hold up,
Mike Rock Harachis. I flip photo Porsche, big body.
Bye.
My shirt say Versace. TV screen in my left pocket.
Left pocket.
I'm from California, but I done moved to Texas. Huh, my bad, I'm dyslexic. In the Fordo Mango Lexus. At the titty bar. I ain't afraid to tipple.
No.
Me and Sergio throwing pesos at some strippers.
Stripple.
Still rocking J's. Still fuck minimum wage.
Wait.
I just left Neon Brave tiptoeing through my back cave. Cause I'm
tiptoeing in my Jordans. Try to came down tiptoeing in my Jordans. Just got the Porsche tiptoeing in my foreign. You motherfuckers born. You sleeping on me snow.
Real recognize real.
Young niggas stacking deals, pull up phones with a new bitch.
Real recognize real.
All my niggas trill, I ain't gotta talk. All my niggas gon' kill.
Real recognize real.
I'm headed to the top, nigga. Can't stop me, nigga, no deal.
Real recognize real.
I'ma tell you how it is. Your bitch fuck with me cause I'm trill.
Seen in the Maserati, beautiful bitch with a lot of body. Riding shotgun with a shotty. All my shooters really got a body. Shot them down, never knocked the hoes. I just knock them down. If she body fly out of town. She was selling pussy, I was selling pounds. Hustle right, then it's fuck a price. Talking down, then you ducking right. Bitch, you busting nigga, fuck a fight. Little nigga got my muscle right. Like Michael Jackson in Thriller, I got the goons, goons, goons. Bitches on dick, all they do is ride. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Running laps around you pussy niggas. Zoom, zoom, zoom. If life is a bitch, my studio like the boom, boom, boom. My time is money like I'm on the clock. Flipping my money like I'm on the block. Got it on lock, like cracking the pot if you like it or not.
Young niggas stacking M's. Pull up phones with a new bitch.
Real recognize real.
All my niggas trill. I ain't gotta talk. All my niggas gon' kill.
Real recognize real.
I'm headed to the top, nigga. Can't stop me, nigga, no deal.
Real recognize real.
I'ma tell you how it is. Your bitch fuck with me cause I'm trill.
Real recognize real.
I cannot fuck with no pussy niggas. Y'all is not cheap. Haters, you can imitate me all you want. Y'all is not me. Who your favorite rapper's name? Bet I'm killing your top three. I hear these niggas, they taking shots, but they never pop me. Bitch, get your aim right. Then get your change right. Living that lame life. Fucking that same height. No wonder you ain't right. You not on my level. We not the same type. Niggas be bumping but can't fight. Is it my clothes? Is it the hoes? Is it my flow? I'm killing these shows. I used to be broke. I know it ain't dope. I really don't play. Live what I say. Plug in the bay. Stayed in LA. Calling the place. Do what I say. Place your order. Get it all in the day.
Young niggas stacking M's. Pull up phones with a new bitch.
Recognize real.
All my niggas trill. I ain't gotta talk. All my niggas gon' kill.
Real recognize real.
I'm headed to the top, nigga. Can't stop it, nigga. No deal.
Real, 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 real
50 niggas talk, haters talk, haters talk. Hoes fuck, hoes fuck, fuck the bank, love it. I'ma be doing something right. I heard the laws, watch, watch. They can't stop, they won't trust me. I'ma be doing something right. Something right, something right.
I'm talking about my other bitch. I don't know her name, but I fuck her like I love her, bitch. She fucked the click, that's a flipper chick. She hopped up on that pole and did a stripper kick. I can get you paid, is you with it, bitch? She hopped up on that stage, I told her, get it, bitch.
I jump up the deuce for the south and the north. Boys talking down and boys wanna hate. I chunked up the deuce for the south and the north. Boys talking down, don't make me feel like a I chunked up the deuce for the south and the north. Boys talking down, I leave them on the streets dead. I chunked up the deuce for the south and the north. Boys talking down, I got them diamonds in my mouth.
Well, it's that grind gripper from Houston, Texas. That bar sipping it, bar no flex. I'm straight up out of that Swisher house with G'd ass right out of check. So check the neck, check the wrist. I'm ballin' status from head to toe. My jewelry shop sell more grills than George Foreman. Baby, now you know that ain't an igloo. That's my watch and that ain't snow. Baby, that's my chain. That's not an ice tray. That's my teeth and that's not a snow cone. That's my ring. That ain't Kool-Aid up in my cup. I stay sipping that purple oil. I stay flipping the slab on foes, cause I'm a hustle till I'm in the soil. My wrist game is one of a kind. Petty Philippe worth 100K. My work schedule out on the block. It's mash out night and grind all day. No 401k for a hustler. Just bleed the block and stack that paper. M.O.B. when it come to hoes in a 40 cal. When it come to haters, we all think blessed, not counterfeit. Got a 600 Benz with a fog kit. Got hoes at the HK turning tricks. Out running the track, trying to make me rich. I'm too legit to quit. Stacking up that paper till I'm gone. So I'ma be working with real like Jackson Splinters. Riding 20 years of stuff better than calm.
Back on that deck, sit that vision well on that stove next to that baked soda and pirate. Drop that water off of that pot, let it boil up and get high. Then whip it good with your red light. Did that how you triple every brick you get. Made paper off of that yayo. At J's spot, me bet they know. Your bitch fuck when I say so. Plus got head busts on my payroll. This bank here, homeboy, we don't play. Violate me and this'll be your day. Catch a nigga coming out of DOA. Hit him with a chopper, leave him DOA. You can play with niggas, not me, okay? Them other niggas suckers, I'm a G, okay? T-I-K-I-N-G, okay? Just respect that shit and you'll be okay. Yeah, get this straight once and for all. I run this shit, bar none of y'all. Ain't now one of y'all niggas bigger than me. Can't none of y'all take this city from me. Take years off and I'm still tight. I half ass and they still like it. Kick trap shit when I feel like it. Dope boy know what I live like. Then narrow off kilos. Big bank rolls on C-Lows. Off OCs make zeros. Here we go. Yeah, it's time to get trap back. Jump and get shit back. Pop it, ho. Pop it, ho. I show you suck a nigga I got. I show you how to move a lot of flow. Niggas say they lie, but they lie. So it's time to get trap back. Jump and get shit back. Pop it, bitch. Hey, who that's
everyone I know. I just been drinking on the low, mobbing on the low, fucking on the low, smoking on the low. I just been plotting on the low, scheming on the low. The farthest thing from perfect, like everyone I know. And I hate that you don't think I belong to you. Just too busy running shit to run home to you. You know that paper, my passion. Bittersweet celebrations. I know I can't change what happened. I can't help it, I can't help it. I was young and I was selfish. I made every woman feel like she was mine and no one else. And now you hate me. Stop pretending, stop that frontin'. I can't take it. Girl, don't treat me like a stranger. Girl, you know I seen you naked. Girl, you know that I remember. Don't be a pretender. Getting high at the condo, that's when it all comes together. You know I stay reminiscing and make up sex is tradition. But you've been missing, girl, and you might feel like nothing was the same. I still been drinking on the low, mobbing on the low,
you niggas ain't
fucking on the low, smoking on the low. I still been plotting on the low, scheming on the low. The farthest thing from perfect, like everyone I know. I just been drinking on the low, mobbing on the low,
you niggas ain't
fucking on the low, smoking on the low. I just been plotting on the low, scheming on the low. I'm farthest thing from perfect, like everyone I know.
I'm smoking, I'm rolling, 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 I'm smoking, I'm rolling. I'm smoking, I'm rolling, I'm smoking, I'm rolling.
Codeine in my system, main is life by standing. Feel like I'm on another planet, I don't plan on landing. My Audemars is iced out, ice cream, soft serve. Prescription pills, prescription weed, drink prescription, cough syrup. My swag belong on the short bus, I'm smoking out in my tour bus. I'm chasing after that long money and I don't take no shortcuts. Where the hell is we headed? I don't know, but I'm high. I roll another zip of that ice cream. Taylor gang, I die. I zip and I double cup. Bitch, I'm throwing up. Introduce you to the fast life, but I'm slow as fuck. Bad bitch, she take a sip. After that, she open up. Living like a rock star. I never been sober, bruh.
I'm smoking, I'm rolling. 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 I'm smoking, I'm rolling.
DJ Motai.
Smashing out, lashing out, keeping these bitches cashing out, licking their ass, passing out. Don't give a fuck if they mad or not. What you gonna do when they come for you? I'ma bust back like a hog or do. Mac and gang on the loose, tip the fall, love the dudes. High for super prostitute. I wanna choose what's stopping you. That nigga there cop blocking you. I'ma show you what a rock baller do. I might break the road like Pendergrass. PMC ain't Teddy P. I just jump in the bin and smash the gas. You wanna give me some ads, but the dick ain't free. Give me some ads, but the dick ain't free.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. I have, you know, I've been on like a string, like on a run. I have a good run going of like great guest after great guest. And right now, I'm sitting in Brown Sugar Studios, and I'm podcasting on the fly right now with a man who many of you, if you're in the wrestling community here in Houston, you've probably heard of him. You actually, I'll tell you something funny in a second. But I want to welcome to the show right now, the one and only, Sexy Steve DeMarco.
Oh my God, I can truly retire now because I've had Brad Gilmore call me Sexy Steve DeMarco. It's a true privilege. We just got done recording my show,
yes.
So yeah, two for so.
It's a two for one. You know what's funny? For some reason, whenever I bring your name up, to somebody, mm-hmm. You know, they'll always talk about Steve DeMarco, but my mother comes to all the reality wrestling shows.
Okay.
So maybe like a year and a half ago, during the first couple shows I was doing, you know, you came out to wrestle, and I remember getting a phone call the next day from my mother saying, hey, what was that one guy's name, Steve something? And I was like, and I looked, I still have my cards desk from the night, and I'm like, sexy Steve DeMarco. And she goes, oh, okay. And I was like, Mom, are you telling me you find Steve DeMarco sexy? Because this is now weird for me. Now every time I see
Not weird at all. I will never imagine Steve hitting on my mother. Thanks.
Exactly. Thanks, so,
or my mother hitting on Steve.
So it's safe to say that between you and Kelly Kevin, y'all are my mother's favorite wrestlers.
Well, Kelly, you know, quite the entertainer. Sorely missed on the broadcast.
I know. Yeah. I wish you were still wrestling, man.
Yeah. Well, when I had him on my show, he talked about potentially.
He always is talking about it. Kevin, if you're
listening, being the emperor.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't need to entertain the masses. He's got all the gestures to entertain. So
exactly.
But yes, sorely missed. Like he's real deprecating with his critique of himself. But I'm like, man, you're one of the most entertaining guys, one of the most over guys on our roster. It's proof every time you come out, you get such a great reaction. And the stuff he was doing with Cinema towards the end, I thought was...
like last Christmas.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think it was December was his last...
December the 14th, 2013 was the date. God. It was my birthday. That's the only reason I remember it. Only reason I remember it. So we just wrapped up your show. We just talked for about an hour.
Yeah.
Tell the people right now, I mean, who are you, first of all? But what's your show about?
My show's YouTube-based mainly for the most part. I've been on YouTube for 7 or 8 years, and for the first 6 or 7, I did the vast majority was my story. When I originally wanted to do my show, I was going to call it The Lucha Lounge. At the time, I had a valet. She passed right before I released the shows, but it was just one of those awkward timing things where I wanted to get the camera, and we had discussed it. And I was new to PWA, so I wanted to do videos that kind of put over the character. And I had this pretty valet, my girlfriend at the time, and I thought, oh, well, it'd be great to have her on the show, pretty girl that gets more hits on YouTube. And really, at that time, YouTube wasn't what it is now. Corporations weren't saturating it with content. You could still kind of make a dent in it. But when she passed, I hadn't really taped anything, so it became more of a, I was grieving, so I was going through that process. But even early on, I said, man, I don't want it just to be about me. I want to have other people. But you're in the industry, and you're realizing not everyone's putting out content, so you're the only one putting out content. I was putting out content, mainly my story. A couple years back, I started thinking, well, I'll chronicle my wrestling career. And I was doing that, and then I started to think about, I was listening to a lot of podcasts, listening to a lot of the long-form interviews, and I would notice that I liked those. I like listening to them. More importantly, I have friends that are really entertaining but don't get a lot of either mic time or get a chance to really tell their story, so I thought, oh, I'd like to do something similar. And really as a way of giving back and a way of transitioning from being an active performer that's in the grind in the midst of it to transitioning to what my job at Reality Wrestling is, which is kind of like an agent, producer, kind of a mentor, consultant on many angles. So I thought, well, this would be another good way of transitioning from just telling my story to telling others. So I've released, our episode will be the 11th episode of it. I really enjoy doing them. For the first time since I started doing YouTube videos, I actually try to schedule them out. It's also a good way of seeing if I can stick to a schedule. So if I want to go the podcast route, I have at least that foundation. Because the biggest, hardest thing for anyone who's just putting out content on their own is just finding the time and making it part of your day-to-day. You know, you release stuff every Monday. I still need to get to that before I go, okay, I want to do a podcast. And really, because with YouTube, it's all my equipment. But before I really invest in wanting to go the podcast route, it's like, well, let me stick to a schedule. So
it is difficult to stick to that. Like I remember setting Monday as like the day to do the show.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, at least that gives me Tuesday through Sunday to try to put something together.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
for some reason, you know, it gives me the weekend.
Yeah.
It is hard to stick to that schedule. But I'm like you, you know, I remember like maybe it was like 2-3 years ago maybe it was about 2 years ago. I remember like turning on the television and there was like a Howard Stern. For some reason, I had like a Howard Stern thing pulled up, and it was like, you know, because he videotaped all of his radio shows.
Yeah, yeah.
He had someone on. I think it was like Jonah Hill or someone on. And I mean, I was just watching casually.
Yeah.
But I remember they talked for like an hour and a half. And I was just so enthralled by, you know, the story. And Howard Stern's the greatest of all time when he's doing an interview. I mean, God, that guy's just so awesome.
He puts you so at ease, and it's just so conversational. And you find that I find with podcasts it's difficult at times. Now people are more familiar with it. But even mine, like, I don't know how to define what I do because it is half conversation, half interview. I mean, I'm kind of driving it, but at the same time, I don't do a lot of research. In fact, I don't do very much. I'll listen to podcasts if they've been on other stuff or if I know them really well. But a lot of times I want people to learn as I'm learning it. Because then it's I really want to get
to
know
them. Yeah, reaction.
Yeah.
But like with Stern, you can tell he has so much preparation going into every interview.
Yeah.
Because I just listened to something he did with Maggie Gyllenhaal and like – off the bat, they've never met, but he's like, you know, I'm really interested with you. And then he just talks. But what he's good at is he finds an angle of like how he wants to do the interview and then pursues it from there. And I really had a good time doing the show. What's the name of the show and when can people check it out?
Hopefully I'll release it Wednesday or Thursday. Just look up Steve DeMarco on YouTube. Usually I put it on my Facebook, Steve DeMarco, or my fan page, which is Sexy Steve DeMarco.
That's right. Yeah. Don't forget the sexy part.
Don't forget it. I've earned that. I didn't have to earn it. I was born like this. but
what are you? Are you Italian?
I'm a Spanish Italian, a bit of Mexican. I'm just a big mutt of all the Latin. All the Latin. Because
I think DeMarco. I think Italian.
Yeah.
You got the olive skin. You know. Yeah, I was just thinking.
It's very easy to. I don't have to tan very.
That's good. See, my family's Irish. So I'm like, man, I got to get out in the sun some. Or I'm going to look super pale.
Yeah, my girlfriend's Irish, and she's but the thing is, a funny story. Went to Schlitterbahn, and I, being the Latin guy, like, I'm not going to burn. No big deal. The sun loves me. I burnt terribly, terribly. She did not burn. She was prepared. I was not.
She had the SPF on.
Yeah, she was all, you want to put some on? No, I'm fine. I'll just put a little bit. I'm fine.
I think that it might just be like a man thing too because I remember I was like out with my girlfriend and we were like by the pool and she was like, hey, you want me to put some like, you know, sunscreen on you, something so you don't burn or whatever? I'm like, no, I don't need sunscreen. Oh, man, girl.
Yeah.
Well, it
was funny that I think I felt my skin burning at one point and yet she's like, you sure you don't want me to put anything on? No, I'm fine. We'll stay out for a couple more hours. Oh, man. Yeah. The next week was, especially the peeling, was not fun.
Peeling's terrible.
Yeah.
Peeling's terrible. But, you know, when we were talking in our conversation, obviously, you know, you're a wrestler. You know, we talked a lot about wrestling and just stuff like that. But when we were talking, you know, I didn't realize how much of a comic guy you were.
Oh, yeah, man. I am a tremendous comic book fan, as are many guys and gals in the wrestling business, because there's something similar to it. You're doing sometimes you're doing like a dual identity. You have your identity outside of the ring, and then you have it inside the ring.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you're both wearing spandex a lot of times.
there you go.
You have to lie to your friends about what you do. that's not me on the TV screen. That is not me. I've always been a big fan of it for years.
So, I mean, okay, so me, I'm not so much like a comic book guy. I used to be really into the comic books.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I kind of fell out of them. And wrestling takes up majority of your life.
Yes.
And so you watch a lot of wrestling. And then, though, when 2008 comes around and, you know, I hear they're putting out an Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, Iron Man?
That's
an interesting thing to put out. And, you know, I saw the Spider-Man films with Tobey Maguire and the X-Men and all that and the Fantastic Four movies.
Jessica Alba.
Any chance to see Jessica Alba?
Been a big fan of her since Idle Hands.
You know, Fantastic Four was just an excuse to let's see how many times we can put Jessica Alba naked as the Invisible Woman.
Yes, how many ways can we embarrass her where she has to become invisible because she's lost her clothes?
Exactly. So they're putting out Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's an interesting choice. And then I find out it's this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Yes, which was the first. I think I had heard of that too, yeah.
And I was like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time, I don't know a lot about movie making and anything. So then I finally kind of get into it and realize, you know, Marvel opened up their own studio and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So when 2008 Iron Man came out, it was Robert Downey Jr. I remember watching and being like, that is the most awesome movie I've ever seen. Yeah, what were your thoughts about Iron Man? Was he a favorite character of yours? Did you read Iron Man at all?
No, I mean, I was probably the opposite. DC, you know, Superman, Batman, I was big fans of theirs, saw their movies. Spider-Man was kind of the guy. Outside of him, there was Wolverine. Iron Man really, I hate to say it, he was Bruce Wayne with a drinking problem and a suit of armor. It would be the equivalent if Bruce was like, well, I don't want to drive everywhere. I just want to fly everywhere. So let me make this suit. That's what I assumed. But as soon as I saw it, and more importantly, as soon as I saw Robert Downey Jr. in the role, I immediately was just blown away by it.
He was just so – like, because I remember, like, the first scene is like – well, one of the first scenes – well, the first scene is like when he gets, like, you know, into – when he's showing off the Jericho missile or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets taken. What I love is, like, you know, he's riding in that, you know, military vehicle. And he's sitting in the back and the guy was just like, can I take a picture with you?
Yeah.
You know, would it be cool if I take – and he's like, yeah, it'd be really cool. You know, and they're taking a picture and the guy puts up a peace sign. He's like, hey, no gang signs.
Yeah.
He's like, what do I care? Throw it up. You know, and I was just like, man, when I saw that, I'm like, this guy's all – he's got it, you know. And then they have that scene where he's in Vegas and then she's, you know, the reporters asks, you know, what'd she say? People say that you're the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say about that? Ridiculous. I don't paint. You know, and I'm just oh my God, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you saw that movie, were you just like, okay. I mean, cause at first I still didn't really know where they were going with it.
Yeah.
But then the end credit scene, I heard, before I saw it, everyone's like, there's like the scene at the end. You got to stay for the scene at the end.
You got to stay
for the scene at the end. I'm like, there's a scene at the end of the movie?
After the credits?
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
And then I remember Sam Jackson was like, I'm here to talk about the Avenger initiative. And then everyone was just like, boom, the Avengers, what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So what were you thinking as a comic book fan when you saw that movie and then you heard about this another scene and all that?
Yeah, I was real curious because for the longest, there was never this idea that you could put that many, a team together on the screen, you know, team of superheroes. Like I had always, again, being a DC guy for the most part, I loved Marvel too, but DC resonated, I guess, because of the big two or the big three of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. But I still was like, well, how can you bring that to the screen? And I was still kind of curious as to what they would do, what Marvel would really do, how far they were willing to go with it. The Avengers would be a tremendous undertaking to bring all those characters into one movie. And I kind of wondered how they were going to do it. And I really wasn't on the internet as much as far as like, trying to see where they were going to go. But I was really interested. The thing was that they had me hooked. Like, I was curious as to what the next story was. And the fact that they weren't, you know, especially with certain movies, certain superhero movies, it doesn't seem like they think of a part two or a part three. Whereas this seemingly was like, well, this is the first of an entire universe of films. And I, you know, as a movie fan, that's what was going to draw me to it.
So. It was intriguing, you know, to me because I was like, what do you mean it's a universe? You mean all these stories are connected?
How
are they going to do that? Because then that's when I started researching. I'm like, oh, so there's Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Thor.
Yeah.
How are those even remotely going to relate to each other? You have one guy who's in the 20s.
Yeah.
You have another guy who's a Norse god in mythology.
Yeah.
You have a Hulk and, you know. So then I remember they came out with the Hulk movie the next – or the same year, I think. Maybe it was like the same year.
Yeah, that was the one that
– what's his name?
That was in that Ang Lee's
– no, Ang Lee was –
No, this was the Edward Norton one, right?
Yeah, this is Ed Norton one.
Yeah.
Ang Lee
which
was like
I was okay with because it was Ed Norton. I'm a big fan of him. I think he's a great actor. But I couldn't tell if it was going to continue. You know, like one of those things like here's Iron Man – and they did such a great story with such a great director, but where does the Hulk fit in, I guess? And then I, you know, you get on the, at that point, then I start getting on the internet. Oh, well, there was this scene in the Hulk where he dislodges Captain America's tomb. And I was like, okay, well, now you have to watch for it. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I still really intrigued at the same time, like as fun as I had with Iron Man, I was still like a big Dark Knight The Nolan stuff with what they did with Batman was phenomenal. And I have that trilogy and I watch that continuously. But even that one, like, you couldn't see it being open to more people coming in.
I
watched Thor mainly because of the director. I thought Kenneth Branagh, I was a big fan of his work.
Yeah.
And then I actually was a fan of the first Captain America film.
The Captain America film was good.
Yeah.
It was the guy who directed Jurassic Park 3, okay. Which I was a little weird about at first. Yeah, yeah, I'm like, oh, so you directed the worst Jurassic Park movie of all time.
You took this great franchise and,
and put it in the ground.
Put it in the ground. They're still trying to recover.
Yeah. And then I thought, at first, though, I still wasn't catching on that because Chris Evans plays Captain America, but he also played the Human Torch, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's
so,
like,
so I was like, wait, these are Marvel. Wait, so are these not the same Marvel movies?
Yeah.
And then that's when I started figuring out, oh, they don't have the rights to all these films. All right,
and that was another thing, like, that I didn't quite grasp of, you know, the different studios and, oh, well, we don't want to work together. And I'm like, why don't you want to work together?
Oh,
like, your franchises, you could just print money. Spider-Man with the Avengers would have been
I really was hoping for was, like, in Avengers there'd just be like a final scene of, like, you know, because remember there's like that scene of all of them, they're like some kind of deli or something,
yeah,
or
yeah,
a bakery,
I can't
all,
remember it. Yeah,
they're all kind of like chilling.
Yeah,
I would just have loved if Tony Stark was like, hey, what's wrong with you, and kind of like looks behind him. And it was just Wolverine just sitting there, just smoking a cigar and reading a newspaper.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, go F yourself or something. Like, I mean, just like, can you imagine, like, Wolverine in the Avengers movies, you know? But so you're more of a DC guy.
Yeah.
See, for me, I was always Marvel. So, DC, you know, Superman, Batman.
I think it's because it's Superman's one thing. I'm kind of, I've been a fan for so many years, but, like, when he died, I was fine with it, with Doomsday killing him. I wasn't so fine.
Did you
with,
like, how they brought him back though? With, like, the
no,
rain,
no, I didn't
the
like
the reign of the Superman.
I was really as a comic book fan, kind of turned off by the fact that I understood that you'd have to get someone to pick up the mantle, and one guy's not going to pick it up. But at the same time, just the timing where it was almost like a month hadn't even passed, and now we've got these four.
See, okay, so it was. It was like Superboy, right?
Superboy, which was supposedly a clone.
Steel,
which was just
stupid.
Yeah, that was the lower rent Iron Man.
Yeah.
And then you had the Eradicator.
Yeah.
And then you had, I think, the Cyborg.
Yeah.
I think I stopped.
And the Eradicator was just super, like, longer hair, right? No,
he had shorter hair, and he had, I guess he was from some future. Yeah, I stopped reading.
Yeah.
I think I got the first issues of those because they were, you know, then I started to realize, well, you could probably make money, although I've never collected to make money.
Yeah.
But I remember getting those and then just really being turned off. I think I was more turned off by the fact that you killed such an iconic character and then wanted to bring him back so quickly. Like, I would have preferred doing away with him for maybe a year. Just not, no mention, having, I think, the story of how everyone
reacts,
deals to the fact that he's gone. Like, how Batman deals with the fact that he's gone, or how Wonder Woman, or, like, you know, just the city as a whole, like, how they deal, like Metropolis. How do you deal with the fact that you don't have the greatest superhero of all time. And, you know, outside of him, Batman obviously was a huge fan of. When it came to Marvel, like, I like the X-Men, and both DC and Marvel are kind of guilty of this, where they have so many titles, it's hard to keep up. Like, at this point, I don't even bother to keep up. I'd rather read intellectual properties of, you know, or comics that don't have spinoffs. Like, I like The Walking Dead because there's not a spinoff. There's not, Daryl's not off on his own and I'm trying to read his story. It's just The Walking Dead and how that group deals with it. Or Powers, which I thought was fantastic for, just because of how they play to the superhero genre. And again, because they don't have so many issues that you have to, even when it's a big crossover, it's not like you can just get the, like DC had Final Crisis where Batman bites the bullet, or so that was another one that kind of upset me because now he's back and I'm like, I thought you killed him. Batman. Like, can't we just let him rest in peace? I'm a big fan, but still, you can. I'm okay. I understand death's a part of the equation. But yeah, at the same time, like the fact, like they had Final Crisis, this big crossover, but they had all these side comics, and I'm like, I just want the main story.
Yeah, the main story.
Yeah.
For me, DC Universe. So, I mean, I remember watching, you know, Batman 89, mm-hmm. and then, you know, Batman Returns, and then Forever, and then Batman and Robin, which was. So, I mean, but and then,
yeah,
and then what was it? Batman 63, which is, you know, which was the Adam West.
Yeah.
Adam West one.
Which is probably, you know, for campiness, probably the best. Still the best. Because Adam West is.
I mean, he's awesome. I mean, so, like, I remember watching that movie because I remember I was in, like, Target or something and they had it for sale. And I was like, is this a Batman movie I don't know about? So I remember buying it and then watching it. And being like, this is so silly, but this is so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I remember like, you know, because it had Joker, Penguin, Riddler.
Yeah,
it
had everybody Catwoman in it. Yeah.
So there's that. And it kind of was like to where Batman to me was a little silly because then you watch Batman and Robin and you're just like, this is ridiculously stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean.
A far cry from Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, and not that I had a problem with George Clooney. Or, you know, just trying to make, in essence, a gritty, dark superhero, super colorful, and then those crazy outfits. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I would have been like, wow, that's awesome. You get an A-list actor like Arnold. Just horrible.
It was bad. And I remember, like, the suit.
It's so bad now that I'll watch it and I'll smile because I know that it killed the franchise and they had to reboot it and they gave it to Nolan and, you know, he corrected some wrongs. Some people can be critical of that one as well.
For me, because I wasn't the biggest like I said, I was a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
But I always loved Superman. And I remember, you know, the Christopher Reeve Supermans were awesome.
Yeah.
Up until, like, you know, Quest for Peace. I was like,
Even the Richard Pryor one.
The Richard Pryor one was weird.
He got drunk Superman, which was which was odd. The Quest for Peace, I didn't.
Because was it Nuclear Man or whatever?
Yeah,
what's his
had
rival?
The weird.
Nails or something?
Yeah, the weird Lex Luthor voice, I guess, was. It wasn't actually the guy's voice. It was Lex Luthor who was the voice of Nuclear Man, I think.
It was weird.
Some bizarre stuff. But even on Marvel, like, they tried doing a Fantastic Four before the Jessica Alba one. They tried doing a Captain America, which was partially atrocious.
They had a Nick Fury film with David Hasselhoff.
Oh, my God, which was
here's the thing, though, and I want to get back to Batman, but, like, Marvel had so many early movies. They were all, like, pretty much terrible. Mm-hmm. I remember they had the crossovers. They had a Hulk and Thor movie with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. I think it was called Incredible Hulk Returns.
Oh, God.
No, that was the trial. It was Incredible Hulk Returns. And then, because it came after the TV series.
Okay.
And then they had the trial of the Incredible Hulk, which was Hulk and Daredevil.
Okay.
And then there are so many Marvel movies, but I want to get back to DC for a second. So Batman, to me, I see Batman and Robin. I actually liked, of that original four movies, you had Keaton, Kilmer, and Clooney.
Yeah.
Where do you rank them? Rank them 1, 2, 3 for me.
I'd say Keaton would be the definitive number one because he got the first crack. I'd say Clooney was number two, and Kilmer was number three. And the only reason is because I would have preferred Kilmer to have been they had a storyline with Batman when Bane broke his back. It was like Nightfall.
Yeah.
And for a while there, Batman gives the mantle to what would later become Azrael, but that guy, and in the comics, he kind of looked like Val Kilmer. So I was like, oh, that would be a great thing. And then he became, and I just really wasn't as big of a fan. It was just so hard to, I think Keaton did the best job of being both Bruce Wayne and Batman. I think Kilmer was better at being Batman and Clooney was better at being
Bruce Wayne.
So it was Keaton could do both. You know.
So when we have this 2005 Christopher Nolan movie coming out, Batman Begins.
Yes.
What was going through your mind like beforehand?
Big fan of Nolan. Big fan. I'd liked Memento.
The Prestige. I was a big Prestige fan.
I was a big fan. And just the idea of someone such a heavy hitter director.
Yeah.
Being able to take, in essence, a superhero property or comic book property, which I think really at the time was just really unheard of. You know, it wasn't, you look back at, I mean, Christopher Reeves and that, outside of that, I mean, there was just that lull where, especially Batman and Robin, where it just was like, oh my God, what
everything,
do you do?
Nothing, I mean, superhero movies essentially became parodies of themselves.
Yeah, they were just jokes, big
they
jokes.
They were just big and, jokes.
Yeah, but I was really eager to see what Nolan would do with it. And then as you'd hear about who we would cast, when I heard it was Christian Bale, I was blown away because I liked his stuff in American Psycho. I thought, okay, if anyone could pull off at least the Bruce Wayne portion. And then I saw like Reign of Fire and I thought, okay, you know, he could pull off, you know, the physicality aspect, you know, hearing Michael Caine as Alfred. I mean, just
now,
once
that
you
was
start
awesome.
To hear, yeah, yeah, once you start to hear, okay, who they're going to have and like Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon, I was really intrigued. And plus Batman's probably out of all of them, Batman's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, the tragedy, the reasoning, just kind of his moral compass, all of that. I thought, man, I don't think you'd go wrong with it.
For me, when I heard that it was coming out, mm-hmm. I thought, and I heard it was going to be a complete 180 from the Batman and Robin type movie.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I heard there was not going to be any campiness, and
no
I was going, okay. No, that's
for
fine.
Me, I was like, okay, so this is like the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns
yes.
on you know movie form. You know, this mm-hmm. is the film version of that,
yeah, yeah.
which essentially, I mean, it kind of was yeah. in a sense. So I was like, okay, this might be cool, but for me. And I get a lot of criticism for saying this because I've said it to a lot of friends. I wasn't the biggest Batman Begins fan. I didn't
okay.
really like the movie mm. all that much. I love Ra's al Ghul, you know, in the film. I like the story of that.
Yeah.
And I remember actually when Reality Wrestling did Comic Palooza a few months ago, mm-hmm. I got to talk to Neil Adams for a minute,
oh,
who
cool.
created Ra's al Ghul, you know,
yeah.
and talk to him just for a second. And man, that was awesome. That was
yeah.
an awesome thing. But so I'm thinking, I'm like, I didn't like Batman Begins, and Katie Holmes was kind of whack for me.
Oh, okay. And then, see, and I was the opposite, maybe because I was a Dawson Creek fan, and I could look past the Scientology, Tom Cruise stuff. You know, I think I remember hearing an interview of hers where she was like, before she got hooked up to Tom Cruise, that was
yeah.
like her guy.
Yeah.
I was okay with her. Like, I think one of my criticisms for Dark Knight was Maggie Gyllenhaal taking the role, because I'm a big fan of keeping the same actors for recurring roles.
For, yeah, because you're a continuity mark, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. I mean, I almost wanted them to be like, and playing the part of Rachel Dawes is Maggie, like the
yeah.
like in you know the soap operas today, the role of so and so, like
yeah.
you know maybe something or a little graphic or something. That was my only criticism of Dark Knight. But back to your back to Batman Begins. What was it about the movie that you didn't?
I thought there wasn't enough. I don't know. Because I watched it recently again to see if I was just like, you know, kind of being jaded toward it for the first one or something. But for me, they're just what I guess because I saw that and I was like, okay, it's okay. And then I saw Dark Knight and it raised the bar
mm-hmm.
so high
yeah.
that it almost made me also be like, oh man, yeah, look what they did. With Dark Knight
yeah.
and Batman Begins, I mean, you didn't compare. And I didn't know a lot about Scarecrow, so I thought the villain was kind of weak, in my opinion. Now, when I watched it recently, I was like, okay, this is a lot better than I remember it.
Yeah.
But still, out of the trilogy, it's my least favorite. It goes Dark Knight Returns, and then this one.
Yeah,
Dark Knight Rises, I'm
Dark
sorry.
Dark Knight Rises, yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of my like, philosophy of it.
Stop it right there. That's all we're going to bring for you this week. But stay tuned next week for more from Steve DeMarco. So stay tuned. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.
The Brad Gilmore Show expresses views and opinions that apply to Brad Gilmore and his guest alone. They do not reflect the views and opinions of Reality Wrestling 2011 or any other entity.
Oh. Oh, Brad, what have you done now?